Hi, and welcome to Highlight Ed, a podcast hosted by the New Brunswick Teachers Association, dedicated to sharing innovative teaching and learning approaches happening around the province. Information on services provided to NBTA members and the benefits of belonging to the NBTA community, and trending issues related to public education in New Brunswick and beyond. Listen to the voices of empowered educators as we highlight the teaching profession and explore how they provide quality education to our students, one conversation at a time.
Hello, listeners. This is Dawn Beckingham from NBTA. I'm the Director of Professional Learning Services, and welcome to Highlight Ed. Today, I have Kim Giddens with me, and we are recording in Belle Isle at Belle Isle Regional High School. Kim is a science and phys ed teacher at the school, which houses students from grades 6 to 12. There are approximately 200 students in the school. So welcome, Kim.
Thank you.
I was anxious to talk to you because the person who gave your name for this podcast spoke very highly of you. So you have lots of years of experience and you've done tons of projects. So why don't we start with that? Give me just a brief overview of your teaching career so far.
Well, I've been teaching at Belle Isle Regional High School for, we'll say, over 40 years. We'll leave it at that. I'm primarily a phys ed science teacher, but in a rural school, it's always a surprise when you come in September as to what you're going to be teaching.
Mm-hmm. And you've been teaching science all throughout your entire career?
A little bit, yes.
Okay, a little bit. What do you mean by that?
Well, some years you might have a middle school and a high school. Some years you might have a middle school. As I said, it all depends on the teaching staff.
Okay. And what brought me here today is that I heard that you and your students are working on a research project. Does this research project have a title?
I guess you could say it's dealing with water assessment. We live on the Belle Isle Bay, and we have a marshland that's connected to the Belle Isle Bay. And about 4 years ago, one of my former students took a summer job with the Belle Isle Watershed. And she asked if she could come in June and do a short presentation on what water assessment was and why they do it and why it's important for the Belle Isle Bay. So once she did the presentation, it sparked my interest. So I asked if I could come in the summer and do a water assessment test with them, which I did. And from there, the ball just started rolling, and the watershed asked if we would be interested in doing a three-year program, testing the water at a number of sites. In the winter, we do road salt monitoring, mainly to test how it's affecting the marshland.
Okay, and the marsh is close by.
Very close.
It's very close by.
We can leave the school and be at our testing site in one of the testing sites in about 10 minutes.
So you talked about testing. What does the testing involve? What are the students actually doing?
We begin our testing in September. And from September to the end of November, we have two sites. One is the Belle Isle Creek and one is the Belle Isle Marsh. And they test dissolved oxygen, conductivity, pH level, water temperature, air temperature, and they record the weather condition.
That's a lot. That's for students. What grade level are we talking about?
This is primarily grade 9.
Grade 9.
Grade 9.
Mm-hmm. That's a lot of science for a grade 9 student.
It is. And then when we start testing in January to March, they also will test the salinity level at three different sites.
Mm-hmm.
So one day a week, we do our testing. Same day, we try to make it the same day. And in the winter, there's two sites that are a little further, about 5 minutes drive, 2 minute drive. So one student usually stays after school, and we drive to those sites and test on the same day.
Oh, and they stay after school as well.
Yes.
So that's definitely engaging for them to be willing to do that.
Yes.
Yeah. It is a three-year project, is my understanding.
Correct.
And we're in year three.
We are in year three.
So have the students done the same testing for all 3 years?
Yes, they have.
For consistency, I imagine. So the students who started out, if there was grade 9, they are currently in grade 11?
Right. Correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So how curious are they to find out what the, you know, the younger grade nines are doing to their project that they started?
I honestly can't answer that because we haven't had that discussion. But as we get near the end, we probably will all come together and look at the results. The students, when we finish the water assessment, they have to collect all the information. There's two groups. One does the water on the Belle Isle Creek side. The other does the marsh. And they will have to collect the data. They do bar graphs primarily. And then we send our information off to the watershed, the Belle Isle watershed. And a gentleman there puts all the information together. And then he'll come back and present it to the class. And it's the same with the road salt monitoring. We send all the information, and he does his research, goes back over the prior years and see where changes, if any, have been made.
And is this working only with the Belle Isle watershed? Are there other stakeholders involved?
No. We've just partnered with the Belle Isle watershed.
Okay.
Well, actually, the kit that we use is from Water Rangers. So we use the Water Rangers test kit. But 4 years ago, I did a PL, and I received one of those test kits, and we kind of fell in love with it. And that contains pretty much everything except for the salinity meter that we use. So we do use the Water Rangers test kit.
Okay. So the students go out, they collect their samples, they submit them to be tested, or they test them themselves.
They test them on site. Mm-hmm.
And then what do they do with that information besides sharing it with the watershed? Is it primarily just a data tracking project, or do they do any research involved?
Well, at the beginning, before we actually start the testing, we research what each one of those measurements represents. So the dissolved oxygen tells you how much oxygen is actually in the water, and we look at which species that live in the water in our area, how much dissolved oxygen they require. And the same on the marsh side. And occasionally, there's quite a difference in the readings between the marsh and the creek, the Belle Isle Creek, which brings up lots of discussion. Mm-hmm. Why is this? Who's being affected? And again, they'll do some research. And occasionally, if it's quite a variation, I'll call the gentleman, someone from the watershed, and they'll come in and discuss what our findings are showing.
Okay, so they'll come in and give a presentation.
Yes.
Yeah. And the people working in the watershed, are they biologists? Are they?
Yes. Yes. The gentleman that we've been dealing with, he's been there for quite a few years, so he knows the project. And at the beginning of September, he comes in and does a little PowerPoint and shows the kids what they're testing and why they're testing. And then when we start the road salt monitoring, he'll come in the 1st of December next month and do a little presentation, PowerPoint again, on what road salt is and how it will affect the wildlife and the aquatic life in the Belle Isle Bay and the marsh.
Mm-hmm. This Belle Isle High School is small school.
Yes.
I'm sure all students know what other students are doing. So when you first started this project with the original grade nines who are now in grade 11, Was there a buzz among students? Were they anxious to come to the class to say, oh, I'm going to be doing that this year?
Well, actually, some of the teachers in the school have taken the Water Ranger test kits and have done a little bit of testing. We have several little sites right next door to the school. The people have a small pond, and they give us access to use that pond. So some of the teachers have gone to there and just did basic water testing.
Okay.
So they are putting it into other classes as well.
Oh, good. That's good to hear.
Yeah,
it's good to hear. And have you noticed a difference between year one and year three from this year of the results? Are they consistent or changing?
They are fairly consistent.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, from the first year and last year, there was very little difference in the road salt testing that we did. It'll be interesting to see if it changes this year. Again, it depends on our winters, how much salt is being put in. When we do the salinity testing in the winter, the test sites are the tributaries that will run into the Belle Isle Creek and the marsh. So they're a little different than where we do our actual water assessment testing throughout the fall and the spring.
Can you talk a little bit about the cross-curricular aspect of this? You're doing it in a science class, but I'm sure there are other things, other curriculum subjects that are involved. Maybe you can explain what the connections are.
Well, there definitely is a lot of math going on. When they finish, as I said, with our assessments, they have to collect all the data and they have to graph it. So they have to determine which type of graph they're going to use. And from there, when we do our research activities on the dissolved oxygen and which species it may be affecting, the temperature, the pH levels, that all has a big effect on the species. And if we find a difference, they have to research. So they're kind of doing English, math, science, and definitely phys ed, because as I said, we're out quite often, once a week for sure, if not more. And it's a half an hour hike by the time we walk where we're going and back, and they do their testing. So it's, yeah, there's a lot of cross-curricular going on.
Yeah, and it lasts the semester, does it go into throughout the entire year?
Well, fortunately, here at Bilal High, we have grade 9 science first semester and grade 10 science second semester. So I have these students all year.
Okay.
So we will continue on with the same group of students with the project right into June.
Okay. That's good. Consistency there.
Yes.
You mentioned that the data definitely goes to the watershed of Bilal. Does it go anywhere else? Because when I hear you talking about this and you think of students who are in science programs at the university level, and this sounds like a master's program, right? This sounds like a project that could be used for a thesis of some kind. So I'm quite impressed with the level of science that these grade 9 students are learning. Does it go anywhere else beyond that?
I honestly can't answer that. I don't believe it does. I know the watershed keeps all the data that's collected, and whether they share it with the Kennebecasis watershed or St. John, I'm not sure if they actually share that information that they're receiving or not.
And the purpose of the research, is it to reduce the amount of salt being used if there's a danger? Or
I think the part that we're doing is to see if the road salt is actually having an effect on the marshland. According to the Bilal Watershed, it has to be a 3-year study.
Okay.
So this, as I said, is our final year. What they will do with that information after this third year, I'm not sure. But the kids, they enjoy it. They look forward when it's Wednesday. That's usually our day that we go. A lot of times they're waiting for me to get dressed to go. It's just automatic. They know what they're doing and they look forward to going out and collecting their data and seeing where we're going to be going.
That's good. And I'm sure they feel like they're doing something, accomplishing something. If you have that student who's is an environmentalist at heart, probably takes it very seriously.
And a lot of us live on the Bilal Bay.
Right.
It's our home, and we want to keep the water as healthy as we can.
Sure, for sure. The community, parents involved, other organizations?
No, not really. Parents are involved if they have to get their kids on a Wednesday afternoon or whichever day we choose for the winter. They have to come and pick them up.
All right.
Other than that, that's about it. As I said, the watershed, they will supply us with salinity meters and dissolved oxygen ampules, pH strips if we need them, if we're running low. They will provide us with those.
Yeah. So you said that at the beginning of our conversation that you were given this idea by a past student who came in. What advice would you give for a teacher somewhere else in New Brunswick? You're fortunate that you have the bay right there close by, and you have the biologist working there with you as well. Somebody outside of Belle Isle, what advice would you give a teacher who's listening to this right now and saying, "Oh, I'd like to do that"? How do they start?
Well, I think actually what got me interested, not just my former student, but being able to receive this Water Ranger kit. And I know if you go onto their website, they do have promotions There are PLs that you can do. I know within our district, that's how I received ours. I did a PL on water assessments and things that, like that, and I received that water ranger's test kit. But you can purchase them. And as long as you have a brook, a stream, a river close by, even a pond, the mm-hmm. students can go out and do the testing. And if you test that same site for a few months, they will see, you know, a variation in a number of things as the seasons change.
Right.
And from there, I mean, you can expand your lessons in science. They can do math like my students are doing.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of cross-curricular activities you can do. And again, they're getting outside.
Yeah. Yeah. They're writing reports.
And they're writing reports.
So there's your literacy.
Yeah.
Excellent. We are sitting, for the listeners, we're sitting in Kim's classroom, and we have two huge aquariums in your class. So this is not the only hands-on project that you're working with, and it's very evident in your classroom. So you want to talk a little bit about the fish that we see here?
Well, last year, with the change in the 9-10 science curriculum, in 2020, I decided we should have a greenhouse built. So I took the initiative and had some of the shop students and a local greenhouse gentleman came in, and we put up a small greenhouse. And from there, the students had to figure out how we were going to get power to it. So they started talking solar. And there's a solar farm not too far from here. So we went and visited the solar farm. And while we're at the solar farm, they also are a fish hatchery.
Oh.
So one thing led to another. So it was discussed that we should start maybe dabbling in aquaponics and hydroponics, which I knew absolutely nothing about either. And last year we set up both systems. We had a 50-gallon tank and a 30-gallon tank, and we had 15 speckled trout. And we produced lots of lettuce. And we did it also hydroponically. Two systems are sitting side by side. So the students had to figure out all the chemicals that are used in the hydroponic system, how to keep them regulated. A lot of work in the hydroponic system. Aquaponic system, much easier.
Mm-hmm.
They do all the fertilizing of your plants. All the students have to do with the aquaponic system is keep the tank cleaned and watch the ammonia level and the nitrate and nitrite levels. And we watch the fish grow, and we eat the produce. And when the fish are ready, we harvest the fish, and they also eat the fish. So they're learning about sustainability, growing their own vegetables, their own produce. We did give some of our produce to local people in our community. So this year we're doing it again. And we also grow vegetables in our greenhouse, and they compare the growth rate between aquaponics, hydroponics, and soil growth, which grows the best, produces the most. And again, they're doing all kinds of math, literacy, science. And,
right.
Yeah.
Well, I love listening to you because you're describing a science class. I taught science throughout my career as well, and you are the epitome of what a science class should look like. So I want to thank you for doing that on behalf of, you know, the students that cross your doorway. You've been in this career for quite a while.
Yes, I have.
And there are some new teachers who are entering the system, and you have seen lots of changes. And is there any advice that you may be able to tell those new teachers starting out and saying, like, could I do this for the next 30 years? Because you've gone 30 years and beyond, and it seems like you're still loving it.
I very much do love
love
the students. I love the area. I love learning. I tell my students, I tell them I have no idea what I'm doing. We are going to learn this together. And we've come a long way since last year as to what we have to do, how we have to test. If you're a new teacher coming in, don't be afraid to try new things.
Right.
Let the students know that you're learning along with them.
Mm-hmm.
I think they appreciate that more. Don't be afraid to say, I don't know, but we will find out together. And have fun.
That's great advice.
Lots of hands-on.
Mm-hmm.
They need hands-on activities.
Yeah. In any subject that you teach.
Right. Yes.
Yeah. So looking into the future for you, Kim, you've got some projects on the go now. Is there any project that you would like to dabble in that it's in your thoughts, but you haven't really put it out there yet?
No, I think I have my plate full.
Your plate
with
is
the,
full.
The greenhouse and aquaponics and hydroponics and getting solar panels put on the greenhouse. I think my plate's full right now, you could say.
Yeah.
What the future holds, who knows?
Okay. Great. Any last thoughts?
No, just thank you very much for coming down. It's been nice having this little chat with you. And and hopefully, as you said, some new teachers out there might take a little interest in the hydroponics and aquaponics. And there's all kinds of things out there with different types of hydroponic systems that you can apply for grants. And don't be afraid to try new things.
Yeah, and anything that's going on in your community, like, for example, the road salt one that you're doing, that study, there's all kinds of things going on in various communities. So just ask your town councilors or your village councilors, and maybe they'll give ideas as well.
That's right.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it. And to the listeners, I hope you tune in next time as well. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you for listening to Highlight Ed. If you know of an inspiring New Brunswick teacher that would make a great guest on one of our episodes, please let us know. Don't forget to hit follow to not miss out on our future podcasts. Stay well, and remember, teachers do make a difference.